Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for being part of my day. Joan Pride is here, ladies and gentlemen. I told you she was coming. I thought, afraid she might be a little bit late, but it turns out she's all right. She's here and ready to go. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she brings with her another outstanding Kiplinger letter. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. I ran all the way here.
And boy, are your legs tired, right?
Boy, are they ever.
It's good to have you here, Joan. Good to have you back. Well, Joan, you have a new president.
Boy, we sure do.
We have a new president.
Yes, we do.
And
it's quite a weekend in D.C., boy, I tell you.
1.8 million people on the mall.
Yes.
And, Joan, I looked out over the crowd, and I couldn't find you.
Yeah, well, they were all on my train this morning trying to leave town.
Well, the 1.8, that was the largest gathering on that mall.
Really?
Ever?
Wow.
even the Million Man March didn't come. It was more like 150,000 man march. But,
wow.
But yeah, the 1.8 million is the record I heard today, and that's a lot of folks, and that's a lot of portalettes too, isn't it?
Well, funny you should mention that. I saw a news report that said they had 5,000 porta potties brought in, and I'm thinking 5,000 porta potties.
That's not going to get it.
1.8 million people. I didn't do the math, but it didn't sound good.
That's not going to work, Joan.
Yeah, which is why I didn't go down there.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And that's enough on that one. But anyway, it was interesting. I mean, I heard his speech, and I'll tell you. I agree with some of the pundits. The speech wasn't exactly memorable in its content, but the man can give a speech.
He sure can. He sure can.
The man can capture your attention. I mean, I get the feeling the guy could read a Campbell's soup label, and you'd be enraptured. You know, you'd want to listen.
It's amazing how he does it. He's very, very good at it. He's probably not as good as many preachers, but he's better than most presidents, I would say.
Well, clearly. Exactly, and the thing about him is, and see, this is the mark. This is the mark. Now, I don't think Obama has actually ever been a leader. I don't know that he's ever done any leading. He doesn't have much experience as a leader, so to speak, like leading a company or troops or whatever. But he has the demeanor of a leader.
Yes.
And one of the things a leader has to be able to do is communicate his message or her message.
It's vital.
Well, and if you think about it, look at Ronald Reagan. Now, Ronald Reagan had led some things. He'd been a governor, and he'd been the president of the Screen Actors Guild, I think it was, or whatever. But still, you know, he wasn't exactly considered a chief executive necessarily. But he had that ability to communicate that message, didn't he?
That's right.
And that was a large part of his success. And so perhaps that'll be the way it will be for Obama.
I think that may be true. And there are some parallels, you're right, between him and Ronald Reagan. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, one of them, I think, is how he seems to be reaching across the lines. I mean, Reagan did that. Reagan got a lot accomplished with the Democrat Congress.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm predicting, Joan, that there will be more dust-ups between Obama and the Democrats in Congress than Obama and the Republicans in Congress.
Oh, no question. I believe that, because you remember all the dust-ups between Clinton and his Democratic Congress.
Right, right. And I actually like that. I think that's a good thing.
Well, anytime, and the head of the Senate, you know, the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, said, I don't work for him.
Any time that we have Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, taking a few more Tums, you know, eating a few more antacid tablets. That's actually, I think that's a good thing for our nation. I don't want him to be sick, Joan. I just want him to be
I'm
a little bit
unclarified.
I want him to be a little, you know, unsettled. Yeah. Nobody ever died from indigestion, Joan. Don't worry. Don't worry about that. I don't think there's no long term pain from indigestion. But one of the things he's going to have to do, Joan, and they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, is he's got this stimulus scenario in front of him, right?
That's true.
And that's the first thing on the Kiplinger letter this week is, will companies be happy with the stimulus? Joan, nobody's happy right now. How could they make anybody happy?
Well, we don't really know what it's going to be yet, so it's hard for anybody to know whether they will be happy. Our forecast is, interestingly enough, we say, I guess they'll be more happy than not. We say for the most part.
Well, Joan, I'll tell you, the way that they've done the TARP money so far and the way that they've bailed out, or not bailed out, but...
Now, tell your listeners what TARP means.
Trouble Asset Recovery, or no, Rescue. Is it Rescue?
I don't
Trouble
have to know.
Asset Rescue Program.
I think it's TARP.
Yeah, it's Trouble Asset Rescue or Recovery. Trouble Asset Recovery Program. But, Joan, there haven't been many trouble assets recovered, have there?
That's the problem, yeah.
The recovery, I think it is recovery. The recovery, and we'll confirm that in a minute, folks. I know that it's one of those words. But the thing is it really was intended, originally, the TARP was intended to get rid of some of the toxic assets, to actually, for the government to take over some of those toxic assets that are on their balance sheets of the banks, but that's not where the money went, is it?
Well, and that's one of the complaints is that people, the average person, while they're watching banks and other major institutions get bailed out, the average people aren't getting bailed out.
Right. That's exactly right. And so now comes the administration, the new administration, And the marketplace back to Congress saying we want the other $350 billion and more, actually.
Right, right.
And Congress, it's going to be interesting, Joan, to see what Congress, how they respond to that request, isn't it?
Well, and I think so far they've been a little bit reluctant because they want to, I guess, put more strictures as to how they want this money to be spent.
The first money that went out didn't have a lot of strings on it, and literally within 30 days the Secretary Paulson came back and said we're not going to do what we said we were going to do with this, we've got a whole new plan,
right,
and that kind of ticked some people off, didn't it?
It did just a little.
Yeah, and I think there were some members of Congress who voted for it to their own peril, who lost their election because they voted for it. And it wound up not even being the way that they voted for.
Yeah, I think
so.
You're right.
There's some bad blood there, folks. 20 after, we're gonna come back. I'm gonna blend into this conversation. What's in this for small business? Is there anything? It's 20 after. Stay with us.
Ain't no sin getting out this morning into the sun.
Welcome back.
Riding on the dawn.
What are you doing there, John? Yeah, okay, all right, there you go. That's what I thought. This is one of Joan's favorite songs, folks. Right? Right, John? Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Dreamboat Annie? Joan, you ask, we deliver.
Wow.
That's hard, Dreamboat Annie. Welcome back. 23 after that. Hey, listen, we got production value here, Joan.
Please thank your engineer. That was great.
We got Johnny. That's Johnny Jukebox on the buttons there. Yeah, he's doing a good job. Welcome back, folks. 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find all the things we do here, including my blog, including my knowledge base, including my newsletter, including archives and articles. Lots and lots of stuff there. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Please check out the newsletter. Go. You can see a sample right there. I think you'll like it. We give it away. It comes by email every Sunday afternoon. And I really hope you'll start noticing my blog. I work hard on that folks, so check it out and use it to your advantage. Joan Pride is our guest, and we're talking about this stimulus that they're talking about. Joan, I think they're flying under false colors now using the term stimulus. Because, Joan, there is no, so far, we've spent an obscene amount of money And there has been no stimulus. There's only been, you know, for all we know, all we've gotten is the world hasn't come crashing down around us.
Right.
So maybe if they hadn't done this, our world would have come crashing down around us. But you know what, Joan? Our world is looking a little shaky even so.
Yeah, but that's the problem. How do you measure progress?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. So the big winners, though, you guys say, are construction companies. Now, Joan, is that because of the of what they're planning on with the infrastructure projects that they're projecting?
Right, because we say basically it's companies not only that do construction, but ones that supply equipment and materials for roads, bridges, rail lines, schools, and airports.
Now, the jobs thing on this, I mean, if we need to do infrastructure work, okay, that's fine. And if the government needs to spend the money on that, that's their job, is to pay for infrastructure work with our taxes, and I understand that. But what I got a problem with, Joan, is trying to connect infrastructure work with creating, you know, 2 or 3 million jobs in a year. That's the part that I disagree with them on. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Well, we do say that those aren't the only big winners. We've got
right.
like four.
No,
other
I know you got. To, I know.
Yeah.
I know. We're
not expecting construction to handle all that job.
That's exactly right. And by the way, folks, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. I've got a segment with it. I don't let Joan join me on, and I'll I'll get to have all the fun I want on that part. But you're right. Another one is the alternative energy folks, and they kind of need some help, because with gas prices down now, Joan, there's not as much emphasis on them, is there?
That's right, and that's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. So they need some help, and I do think, Joan, that we need to continue to work for better electric cars. I think the battery technology, Joan, is really going to be overall. If I had to pick a winner in the winners and losers, we already know corn is the loser, in my opinion.
Right.
And I think batteries are probably – battery technology is something – I mean, look what we've done with batteries so far, Joan.
Well, that's true.
In the last 30 years, what's happened to batteries? I mean, we got these teeny tiny little batteries. I mean, every little toy, Joan, does something because of a tiny little battery that's in it, right?
Right, right.
And they're throwaways. Right. They're throwaway batteries. So
yeah. –
So that's going to be good news. Telecom, Joan, 50% of Americans have broadband.
That's right. And that means 50% don't.
Yeah, that's right. And Joan, I'm not going to say 100% could have it if they wanted it. But here's the thing that I think that statistic misses. It's not like 50% don't have access to broadband.
Okay.
So, in other words, I know for a fact that more that a high percentage, I don't know what the number is, I don't know if it's 90% or 85%, but most Americans who want broadband can get broadband.
Most, okay.
Yeah.
When you say most,
more than 50%. More than,
okay.
I mean, when we say
so that could be 51%.
It's more than that, though, Joan, because
okay.
G3G cards are available. Let me put it this way, Joan: if there's cell phone coverage, what part of America do you think doesn't have cell phone coverage? Very small percentage, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so if you can get cell phone coverage, you got broadband because there are 3G cards now that you can put in your wireless computer. See, so I think that's a little bit of a misleading thing. And another thing I think we got to point out, Joan, is that when they compare America to countries like South Korea, and those countries who have high broadband applications and absorption, we have to remember that the government did that 100%, not the private sector.
Oh,
see, our broadband is all private sector.
Right.
Their broadband in South Korea, for example, is the government.
Right.
So I think it's a little bit unfair to compare those two. All right, let's move up down to healthcare, Joan. Tell us what's going to happen with healthcare.
Well, healthcare providers, we say, are also going to be big winners because states are going to get more money to insure children and poor folks. And that's already in the works.
Yep.
In separate legislation. But
S-chip.
Then we also say $20 billion in incentives for providers to switch to online record keeping.
Yeah, the hospitals need help, Joan. They're really taking it on the chin right now. And
right.
So we're going to talk. We're going to come back. I want to point out the S-CHIP legislation, and then I want to talk about small business. Right after these messages, we're going to blend that into where some of this money needs to go. 29 after. Stay with me.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure. Joan Pride is our guest. Yes, she's senior editor. Let me get my tongue untied here. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. She is our guest today. And, Joan, it's good to continue to have you with us. And one of the things that you guys report here, and I'm glad you did, is what's going to be how small business owners are going to be the beneficiaries of this alleged stimulus work that they're going to be doing in the future. Tell us about that.
Well, we're saying that more lending, which is what's really needed, and led by the SBA, that the SBA is going to spur lending, and also lower fees on loans backed by the SBA, which I think is really important.
Well, let me tell you something, Joan. Lower fees is not never – higher fees never kept a small business. Once a small business gets to the point where they need a loan from the SBA and it's guaranteed by the SBA, they don't even think about what the fees are.
Really?
Nobody looking for an SBA loan is shopping fees. Okay, so lowering fees is, and here's why I point this out, Joan. It irritates me when the government throws a bone like that to small business. Oh well, we helped out millions of small businesses this year because we lowered fees. You know what? That's not what we need. We need the money. We need the capital.
Yeah.
We need the 50,000 or the 100,000 or the 200,000 or the 2 million or whatever the loan. We need that money. We can deal with the fees. We can pay the fees. We can afford the fees if we can get the access to the capital.
I see. Yeah.
So what they got to do is they can't just lower fees. I mean, that's rearranging the deck chairs, Joan. What they got to do is they've got to make sure that more and more people have access to the capital, because more and more small business owners currently don't have access to capital.
Yeah.
Because of the meltdown of the financial crisis of the our banking system, Joan. Notwithstanding community banks, which most of them are in pretty good shape,
right.
But other than that, Joan, the other end of the barbell, our banking scenario is frightening.
Right.
Citibank, SunTrust is trading at like a ridiculous $3 or something like that a share. I mean, it's just
SunTrust.
I think
Boy,
so.
I didn't realize they were having trouble. I think so.
And I'm not trying to single them out. I'm just saying we got lots and lots of banks out there that are having a lot of trouble.
Wow.
And so they're not going to be prospects to loan money to small businesses.
Yeah.
Really. They haven't been.
Yeah.
And so and which brings me to the next point, Joan, the tax cuts that they're talking about.
Right.
Now you're our tax expert. Tell us about this.
Well, one of them is a special break that was in place last year but expired, 50% bonus depreciation, and that's going to go through 2010.
Yeah.
And then the higher ceiling on expensing equipment by small businesses, which is at this point $250,000.
Section 179, direct
right.
expensing. Yes, that, right. that all that. And, Joan, those are good. There's no question about it. But, Joan, that's not enough. We already had that.
Right.
We had that before. Giving us what we already had is not stimulating anything, Joan.
Okay.
You see my
all
point?
Right.
So if this thing with the 50% bonus depreciation and the $250,000 direct expensing, Joan, that only works if you got a profit.
Right.
In 2009, small business owners are not thinking profit; they're thinking cash flow.
Right. I was going to say, how about this other provision on loss carrybacks? Let you carry losses back
okay.
to prior years when you had a profit.
That's a good thing, Joan.
Ah,
and if that and
okay.
if that could, but Joan, that's assuming.
Yeah.
But see, you can't collect that until you make a profit.
But the point is, if you're having bad times now and had a problem
in previous years, you're right.
You can take your current losses and apply them back.
You could get a refund. That could give you a refund.
Right now, you can only do that back 2 years, and this is going to let you go back 4 or 5 years. And I would think 5 years ago, you were probably doing pretty well.
It's possible that you could get a refund from that. I agree with you, but Joan, that's not across the board for small businesses.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this: what do they need in terms of tax cuts?
They don't need tax cuts.
Okay.
They need access to capital.
Okay.
See, let me tell you something, Joan. If they would take the money that they gave to these big banks, and distribute it pro rata to small business owners, this economy would leap.
Yeah.
It wouldn't just start over again. It would leap off the ground. Because you know the banks aren't doing anything with this money.
Apparently not.
Small business owners would be putting it to work.
Yeah.
We'd be hiring employees. We'd be buying stuff. We'd be working. That's what we do. Not the banks so much. So that's what needs to be done. And that's what they ought to do. And I'm waiting on the phone call from President Obama right now. 2012, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Too much. I'm lonely. But no one can tell.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. The small business advocate, Joan Pride, is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and their website, folks, is kiplinger.com. It's an outstanding website. I've been going there for many years. And, of course, their publications are outstanding, like the Kiplinger Letter, 85-plus years old, the continuous publication by this family-owned small business, basically, Kiplinger is, after all these years, which is an amazing feat in these times. Makes me very proud of them. And, of course, that's what Joan and I work off of every week, the weekly Kiplinger Letter. And then they've got biweekly letters, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, the Agriculture Letter, God Bless Our Farmers, and also the Biofuels Letter that I'm still trying to get them to change to the Alternative Fuels Letter. And then they got that magazine thing, Joan. What's that?
You're right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And a phone number.
That's right, and it's toll-free even. It's 800-544-0155.
Folks, if you're not keeping up with what Kiplinger's got going on, what they're talking about, you're a little bit behind the curve, so I hope you check that out. Joan, one last thing on this stimulus before we move on to the next issue.
Right.
The tax credit for employers to hire, you know, for employers to hire employees, what's the prospect on that?
We don't think that's going to pass. That's gotten a lot of pushback from not only Republicans but also Democrats. There's a lot of concern that it's hard to administer, and it's frankly just too prone to abuse and really wouldn't be enough of a help to the economy.
Well, and the thing is, Joan, I really don't – the only thing that I like from a tax standpoint in terms of new stuff – I want to keep what we got, but in terms of new stuff – would be just to abolish things like the corporate tax. If they would abolish corporate tax, this economy would take off, I think.
What if they lowered it?
Well, that's not the same thing as abolishing.
Well,
Joan.
No, but I mean, it might not be realistic to think you're going to abolish it.
Okay,
come
lowering's
on,
good.
Take
I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take half a loaf. Give
oh,
it
good.
To me.
Okay.
But I think that would send a message. I think that would send a message to a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a good thing to do. And they can always, you know, when things get better, we can always pick it back up later. But anyway, Joan, let's move over and talk about the credit rescue. We talked about that a minute ago. And what are you guys saying about that? You got $700 billion. The second half of the $700 billion plan is yet to come out, right? The $350 billion is yet to be distributed.
Right, and you know he's kind of in the new president is kind of in a tough situation because we're saying he's going to face tough scrutiny on how he plans to spend it, not because there's any innate worry about how he would spend it, but because his predecessor spent it in certain ways that is bothering Congress. So now he's kind of inheriting that baggage, if you will.
Right, right. Frank Paulson ate sour grapes, and now his teeth are set on edge. Is that what you're saying?
And so did Henry, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean Henry Paulson. And thank you for that. And I can always count on you, Joan. But I heard something the other day that some of this TARP money is scheduled for a longer-term payout that it's not even going to happen all at once. And so, you know, I mean, whatever we do, Joan, we need it now.
Right.
Now, I'm pretty much philosophically opposed to the government getting involved. And there's some people talking about certain banks becoming nationalized, Joan, almost like the way they did. You know, basically, AIG was nationalized.
Yeah, I read that talk. I was kind of shocked, frankly.
Yeah, and so I sure don't like that idea,
no.
Joan.
Right.
But I just think... But Joan, here, what we got here is the government was a large part of getting us into this problem we got right now.
Right.
They contributed significantly to the problem we have right now. So now we're asking them to fix it?
Well...
You know, if a guy shoots you, you don't ask him to do the surgery to take the bullet out. You know, you find somebody else who doesn't create problems.
That's quite an analogy.
Yeah, you can quote me on that, Joan.
Oh, okay.
Let's move down and talk about the cost of money, Joan. You guys say that you asked the question, can the prime rate go any lower? We now know that in an unprecedented fashion, the Fed has lowered the Fed funds rate, which is the rate which banks pay for overnight deposits. And it's now down to anywhere from 0 to 0.25%, Joan. And so the prime rate has been positioned for years at 3 percentage points over that, and that's
right.
What banks loan their good customers, right?
That's right.
So can that go lower?
Well, we're saying it could fall almost down to 2%, which I find amazing.
See, there's no law, Joan. There's no rule that says that prime has to be 3 over the Fed funds rate.
Right.
As far as I know, I never heard of a law like that. Have you?
Yeah. No, I have not.
And so, you know, and small business owners don't know anything about prime, Joan. Our rate is prime plus 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Right.
And so I like this idea of banks saying, you know what, you know, maybe we need to go down to 2%. Or how about 1%? How about 0.5%, Joan?
But they need to start lending. Whatever they go to, they need to start lending. That's the problem, as you
point see,
out.
And see, now you come back to what I've been saying all along about small business owners. We can pay the interest. We just need the capital.
Right.
Never mind the cost of the money. We don't like for the cost of the money to be too high. We can pay the interest. We just need the money. And that's what's hurting a lot of small business owners right now, Joan, is access to capital. Quickly, you guys point out the bottom of page 2 there. Bank branches, you guys are saying, are going to be shrinking in the future. And I think that's going to be because of online banking. I don't use bank branches as much as I used to. I use the computer more. I don't make those trips like I used to. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about what's going on in the Kiplinger letter this week, what Kiplinger has to say about what's happening in the world. Joan, energy prices is also on your mind this week, and you guys say that, and you know, you couldn't leave things alone, Joan, as if things weren't bad enough.
Sorry.
You had to tell us what?
Well, now, there's good stuff here, too. We're saying the slide in energy prices will come to an end by around mid-year, but we're not saying we're going to go back up to, you know, $3.50 and $4 a gallon either.
But it's still going to go up.
Well, yeah.
Well, how come you guys haven't figured out why diesel's so much higher?
Now, that's
a quandary right there.
Really?
I mean, diesel is a byproduct of gasoline. It's the waste. It's part of the waste of gasoline and oil production.
But we're saying it'll take longer for diesel prices to go up.
To go up or to come down? Well, they're already high, though.
Cents. Well, but we say they're going to come down some more.
Yeah.
And then in summertime be back up.
Well, see, there was a time when diesel was cheaper than gas, and people who drove diesel cars, they get better gas mileage, they got like a double whammy.
Oh, really?
They got a double hit there, yeah. But now... Now they don't. And I'll tell you, when diesel was so high, there was a point where, you know, it wasn't all that much of an advantage to have a diesel car. And I'm not sure that it is now.
Yeah.
So, John, let's move down and talk about the automobile industry.
Okay.
The outlook for U.S. auto sales is not looking good, is it?
We say it keeps getting dimmer, so it's going to get worse before it gets better, and we don't even know when it's going to get better, I guess.
And the two problems that are exacerbating the automobile industry are market-driven, and that's the credit collapse.
Right.
And I heard a car dealer this week. I heard him speak on this topic at my Rotary Club, and he said, you know, there was a time when we had, you know, people lined up to finance cars for people who came in.
Right.
He said, now the only people we can get financed are the solid gold people.
Wow.
And you know, it's tough. And
yeah.
But that's one thing. The other thing is you know, we've lost hundreds of thousands of jobs, Joan. People can't buy cars if they don't have a job.
Right. That's right.
And so you throw all that in, and plus you throw in the baggage that they brought into 2009, the American car companies especially. And Joe, that's a perfect storm, isn't it?
I would think so. Yeah, it's not good.
This guy predicted this guy we talked to. He's been in the car business for 25 years. He predicted to our club that 2,000 dealerships would be lost soon. You know, the next
wow.
year or so.
That's a lot. Sounds like a lot.
Well, I also have been told, though, that was the number that the industry believes needs to be shed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But now but remember this: these are small businesses.
Right.
Every
sure.
one of those dealers, I say every one, 9 out of 10, maybe 95 out of 100,
mm-hmm.
are small businesses. They're not part
right.
of big conglomerates.
Right.
They're locally owned Billy Joe Bob and Loreen Chevrolet dealership.
Right.
You know, across America, and so I know that's a natural thing that's going to happen, but it's not going to be happy for me and those folks, because they're small business owners, and I don't know, there's no way to reconcile all that, Joan. It's going to be tough, isn't it?
Right. Oh, no question about it.
I don't know how GM and Chrysler are going to stay out of bankruptcy.
Well, and we even say Washington is trying to engineer, well, this is interesting, a controlled crash for Chrysler.
Yeah. Even though they just signed a deal with Fiat, they didn't put any rocks in their box.
No.
It was just an agreement of some kind.
Yeah.
So that's not too good, and so I'm kind of concerned about that. Joan, another thing you guys report is the 401k matching thing that companies have done over the years. So much, and have helped out so many people with their 401ks, that's actually coming to a halt for a lot of folks, isn't it?
Right. We have very little good news in this letter, you can tell, this week, but yes.
Yeah.
But we do say temporarily suspending matching funds. Usually
mm-hmm.
matching a portion, if you put in a certain amount, they'll match a small percentage of that, or some very generous companies will match a portion of your salary, whether you put money in or not.
Right. And a lot of those companies have suspended that.
Right.
And, Joan,
exactly.
that's a real dose of reality when a company is willing to tell the world that they've suspended their retirement contributions for their employees.
That's
a huge ego hit right there.
Right.
And you know they got to be doing this. They're going to have to come back soon and start it again, because they're not going to be able to keep good people without those benefits.
And they'll need them, sure.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, could I make an order for some good news next week, please?
I'll try. I'll work on it.
All right. Would you work on that? Thanks. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Thanks, Joan. See you next time.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.